Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I do hope, my friend, that as you listen to these broadcasts, if you make it a daily part of your life, have a Bible close at hand or a New Testament so that as we discuss these things, you can see from the Scripture for yourself what the Bible says. We do not need Christians today running around quoting their preacher when they can't quote the Bible. You need to know what the Bible says. It's nice if you know the doctrines of your church and why your church believes what you believe, but you better know what the Bible says. How are you going to determine whether I'm telling you the truth or not? How will you be able to tell when you hear something that doesn't sound? Well, how do you know? You're not sure. If you know what the Bible says, you know what God says about it, then you're on solid ground. Then you can pursue your investigation. You can nail things down, draw your own conclusions. He that is spiritual judges all things. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He that is spiritual judges all things. He that is spirit-filled, controlled by the Spirit, investigates, analyzes, puts to the test, weighs the evidence, everything. Everything. And I would be, what, a hypocrite? I would be some sort of a flim-flam con artist if I didn't tell you that and expect you to apply it to this study as well as anything else you would hear on the airwaves. Now, as we looked at the beginning of our study on the last program, I gave you some introductory material. I'm not going to go over the schools of interpretation again. For the most part, I don't think most people are too concerned about that. But I wanted you to recognize the fact that while there are a lot of people say, ooh, the book of Revelation, my goodness, there are so many interpretations. How do you know? You can't understand it. You don't know. Ooh, you know, it sounds like, you know, the ghost from Christmas past or something. I mean, this is the only book in the whole Bible that gives you a written promise for reading it or listening to it being read. Verse 3 in chapter 1, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want you please to underline that, for the time is at hand. This seems to be something that modern Christianity has lost track of. There is a pitiful thing that has happened. Under the guise of modernizing the gospel message, contemporary Christianity, both theologically, doctrinally, and musically, has done a great disservice to the cause of Christ because it has moved people away from what the Bible has to say. The general idea is, well, the Bible's all right, but you got to keep it in its place, and, you know, it's kind of outdated. And so they've taken the Word of God, and they've rewritten it so many times, and after a while, nobody's really sure what anything is supposed to mean anymore. After all, it's the work of men, oral tradition passed down for generations, and, oh, really? You see, that's what the devil wants you to think. But listen. The Bible still exists. The Word of God still exists. When you look, and let me get specific. I'll identify myself here very plainly. Some will say, what's the deal? Other people will say, oh, well, he don't believe like I do, and that's the end of it. But I'll tell you what I use and why. I'll use, in the course of this study, I will use the King James Version. Not the New King James, the old one that's based on the 1611 translation. I've made a lot of changes in the 1611 version, still calling itself the King James, typographical different words that are passed out of use. But basically this is one that was revised in the 1700s, and it stands the test of time. It's the one your granddaddy preached from or your great-great-grandpappy listened to when he went to church. Now, during the course of the study, I will be making references to the Greek because, quite frankly, there are things that the Elizabethan English does not convey from the Greek language. Now, please understand, I'm not being critical of the King James. I'm simply saying that the languages, when you go from one language to another, there are certain trade-offs that are going to be made. Now, understand, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever between what the Greek says and what the King James says as touching any doctrine of the Bible. It is reliable, totally. But there are some words that simply need some clarification because, as I said, the language shifts tenses from the Greek to the English that don't quite make the the transition between the two languages. And for that reason, you'll hear me say, well, now the Greek says this, or the Hebrew says that, or something to that effect. Okay? So we're on the same page. Now, as we look then at verse 3, it says at the end of it, for the time is at hand. For the time is at hand. If you listen to contemporary Christianity, you're hearing the same watered-down message that the liberals tried to foist off on a generation prior to this one. The ecumenical movement, the liberalism of the 20s and the 30s, the shift away. Then it was supposed to be for academic reasons. Now it's a matter of feeling and emotion, but the effect is the same, to deprive people of an authoritative Word of God. People are no longer encouraged to carry their Bibles to church because, well, it's a modern age, and we don't want the inconvenience of having to take a Bible to church. It is for that reason that hymn books are being discarded or being left in the basement of the church, while in the guise of progress, the words, not the music, but the words are being projected on screens, which means if you read music and you're trying to learn a new song, you can't do it except by listening and by rote. It also means that if somebody wants to chop up the words and change the words, if somebody wants to emasculate the message of a song, they can do it, and there's no hymn book for people to look at and say, hey, why did you change that? And what's happening, as it happened educationally in America, you saw it in the books, in bookstores with titles like The Dumbing Down of America. Well, there is the effort going on spiritually in America as well and around the world. The de-Christianizing, the de-biblifying of Christianity. The humanizing of Christianity. Perhaps that is at once the most damning thing that can be said and the most accurate thing that can be said. If you look at what's going on in America, or for that matter, let's just bring it down closer to home. When you look at ministries, when you look at evangelistic efforts, what's happening? Oh, there's lip service being paid. Oh, we need to have time of prayer. Uh-huh. And then you're told what to pray for. Some of it worthwhile, some of it just as crazy as, well, it's not worth mentioning. And then you look at the evangelists themselves, the flamboyant, the on-headed, the people who, well, I just believe the old-fashioned way. And they cannot use the language, they don't know their Bible, but they can scream and holler and pound a pulpit. You've got, on the other extreme, you've got people who are so hip and so with it and so into the now generation and the one world community and this love everybody stuff that you can't pay. I got in the mail a flyer from something that's going to be going on this spring here in the Tri-County area. I don't care whether you call it Showtime or Freedom Experience, or whether you call it, let's have a good time and say we're doing it in the Lord's name. It comes down to entertainment. Now, wait a minute. If we're going to do the Lord's work, let's do it the Lord's way. Let there be a genuine revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven then will I hear from heaven. Not until. Not until. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. My friend, that may be Old Testament, but I defy you to find any scripture that countermand it. No, we've got a lot of sin in the camp today, and it's supposed to be okay. Really? Really? Can you defend that from the scripture? The time is at hand, my friend. In the history of this country, from the Revolution right on up through, you heard little statements, pithy little statements like, keep your powder dry, don't fire a shot till you see the whites of their eyes, that kind of thing. Well, my friend, it's time to make sure the priming is dry. It's time to make sure your sights are clear, and you better know which side of the fence you're sitting on. It's not a matter you can wear half of the uniform from one side and half from the other side. You'll find you're a target for both groups. You better be on God's side, and you better know which side that is. And the only way you're going to know that is when you get into the Word of God for yourself and quit following the slick chatter, the schmoozing of religious figures who make merchandise of you. What does the Bible say? It's interesting. It's interesting. The claims of modern evangelism. Oh, yes, we've had 1,115 decisions for Christ in our last evangelistic effort. Well, that's marvelous. Where are they today? Where are they today? Are we talking about 1,100 people who were actually converted? I can decide that Jesus Christ was a real human being and not a peanut butter sandwich. I've made a decision, but does that have any eternal worth? Where are they today? It's funny. I don't know of any congregation involved in the last big hoopla that we had here in this area who picked up more than 5 people, if that. 1,100 and plus people? Where are they? And what is it we're supposed to expect out of a sleight-of-hand illusionist, a so-called Christian rock band, and some bicycle riders? Where is the power of God? We have substituted programs for power. We have substituted plans for the Word of God. For ideology, we go to the world instead of the Word of God. My friend, the time is at hand. Jesus is coming, and whether you're ready or not is up to you. The Lord said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. What do you got coming? What do you got coming? There's a credit card company that advertises, pretty cute advertisements. The punchline, what's in your wallet? Well, what's in your testimony, Christian? Do you have any idea what's in your Bible? Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. My time is gone for today, and I realize there are those who would take exception to what I say. But my friend, it's time that God's people lined up so squarely with the Word of God, there is no division, there is no separation between them. It's time to do what the Bible says.